Despite what you're hearing in the news today, the Ulster Farmers Union have told this programme they are not contemplating a cattle cull, despite reports from so-called industry insiders that up to 45,000 cattle may need to be culled. These industry insiders may be plentiful, but who are they? Are some of them Remainers? These are the questions we need to ask this morning. Let's talk to the head of the Ulster Farmers Union, Ivor Ferguson. Good morning to you, Ivor.
Good morning, yes.
Good morning. So obviously people in Northern Ireland will be, their ears will be pricking up to this story. Tell us what your thoughts are around it.
Well, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, this news story, I mean, the 45,000 cows to be culled, that was news to me and it was news to our members. We don't know the source of that, and it looks as if someone has done a particular sum, maybe on the back of a cigarette packet or something, and it's maybe all scare tactics, but we certainly don't anticipate culling dairy cows.
So what is your projections? Like, what is the Ulster Farmers Union planning for in the event of a no-deal Brexit? Because we're getting close now, Ivor.
Well, yes, but I just want to say from the Ulster Farmers Union membership, really from the start of this debacle, we have always pointed out that a no-deal would certainly be disastrous for our Northern Ireland farmers. And, I mean, this was really reinforced when HMRC came out some time ago and introduced what they said was going to be the new tariff regime, where there would be reduced tariffs on mainland GB, but more importantly, zero tariffs from the Republic of Ireland into Northern Ireland. And, I mean, that would just destroy our industry. And when you're asking me about what plans we have, what contingency plans, really farmers are not in a position. We don't have contingency plans. I mean, if that's the situation, you know, there's nothing that we can do about that.
You don't have contingency plans?
Well, no. If for example, there's 400,000 lambs per year goes south over that border, you know, if we're facing a tariff of £40 per lamb, you know, and we couldn't get those lambs over the border, it would be very difficult for us to change our farming system within 3 months. You know, it would mean that some of the farmers would have to give up sheep business. You know, we can't see. Farming is a long-term business, so we just can't change our policy in 3 months.
So what are you going to do?
Well, at the moment, what we are lobbying hard for and saying to our politicians and to our government and pointing out, you know, the seriousness of the situation for us. That's one thing we're doing. We're speaking directly to Westminster to make our case. We're speaking to our politicians here. And, you know, that's the best that we can do. We are a lobbying organisation and we are doing our best pointing out, you know, just what a serious situation this would be for Northern Ireland farming. And
you're saying you're talking to your politicians here. Of course, the DUP, the biggest party in Northern Ireland, is a Brexit party. They want us to leave. Now, I saw Arlene Foster saying she wants a deal, but at the end of the day, they're supporting Boris Johnson, and Boris Johnson will be taking this country out on the 31st of October, he says, no matter what. And the DUP agree with that. So has the Ulster Farmers Union spoken to the DUP, for example, about
yes,
your thoughts of how tragic you believe Brexit will be for your industry? And what have they said to you?
Oh, absolutely. We speak to the DUP, but I have to say we also speak to Sinn Féin. We speak to all the political parties. We don't single out any one party.
But what have the DUP said to you in terms of Brexit?
Well, the DUP and the other Brexiteer politicians, you know, they are always saying that they will not get to a no-deal situation, and we hope that there will be a deal. You know, that has been their story all along.
Well, they can hope they want, but if there is no deal, they told you, does the DUP, for example, disagree with your assessment of how bad it will be for the farming industry in Northern Ireland?
Well, you know, you'd have to ask the DUP that question, but one of the things that we do is, as I said, we speak to all the politicians, and we have made it clear to all the politicians here, both here and in Westminster, what the disastrous situation we would end up in here in Northern Ireland. So that's our job, our lobbying job, to speak to all the politicians, and we have certainly done our best to point out just how devastating this would be to our industry.
Spell it out. How devastating? What's devastating mean, Ivor?
Well, a collapse in prices. We know at the moment that the prices of agricultural products, it leaves very little profit, And in some sectors, especially beef at the moment, farmers are losing a pile of money. So anything that would worsen the situation would be disastrous for us.
And how quickly, like in the event of a no-deal Brexit on the 31st of October, can you give me a sense of the cash flow situation? And obviously that will differ, but the normal cash flow situation for farmers and how much reserve and resources most farmers have in Northern Ireland, Ivor?
Well, farmers certainly, reserves would be at the lowest at the present time because farming hasn't been profitable this year, a lot of the sectors. The other thing is that if you take a situation in the milk city, milk, as you know, milk is lifted on our Northern Ireland farms every morning. If that milk had to face a tariff, the only one way to get the milk over the border would be if the government stepped up and paid a tariff. But that's only a small part of the problem because we're assuming that the Republic of Ireland would still accept this milk. Those are sort of questions we don't know. But the one thing we do know is and that the dairy industry has told us that there probably would be a reserve of 3 to 4 weeks where Northern Ireland processors could handle the milk. But after that, then they wouldn't be able to handle it. So you might have 3 to 4 weeks in the dairy industry. Sheep industry, you probably
would have 3 to 4 weeks until what?
Until there would be a surplus of milk. And nobody would want it then at that stage. But we're still hoping, you know, that that'll not come to that, of course.
But surely, Ivor,
we would have 3 to 4 weeks to deal with that.
But surely that's the point of this story, which is running in the news today, that you said there would be 3 or 4 weeks and then nobody would want it. The point of this news story today, which is in the headlines, is that 45,000 dairy cows could be culled because in the event of a no-deal Brexit, if new higher tariffs are applied to British milk, there might not be anywhere for the milk to go in terms of demand, and therefore nobody would want it. Is that not in line with what you're saying? And therefore the cows would be surplus to requirements. Is this not in line actually with what you're saying?
No, we certainly don't agree with that at all because this figure has been just plucked out of the air. You know, we don't know where that figure comes from. Nobody has owned up to say who was the source of this figure. And at the end of the day, what I'm saying is there's 3 or 4 weeks left for processing in Northern Ireland. After that, I mean, we don't know. We'll have to come up with some other plan for that milk. The other thing we need to remember as well is that there are a certain number of culled cows culled every week in Northern Ireland. You know, every week. So, you know, to say that culled cows, there will be an extra 45,000 culled cows, really that's very irresponsible because the cows have been culled every week in Northern Ireland.
I'll read from this article, which is on BBC News Online. And it says from this unnamed industry insider. So there is no one on the actual, on the record. There's no industry figure on the record at all. Backing up the belief that 45,000 cows would be culled in Northern Ireland. But the industry the industry insider is quoted in the following way. Dairy herds have to be milked. It's not like you can leave the milk in the cows. They would blow it up and ultimately die. If there's no market and farmers cannot sell their milk, they could only keep going for a very short period. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of litres of milk going to waste, and then the farmers would have no choice but to reduce their herds.
Yeah.
Is that not true?
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, first of all, we don't even know how well qualified this person is to speak about the dairy industry in Northern Ireland. I'm saying there are cows culled every week in Northern Ireland. I am saying that the dairy industry who handle the milk have said they would be able to handle the extra milk for 3 or 4 weeks. After that, you know, we will have to come up with a plan, and that's our lobbying job, is to go to the government and let them come up with a plan how to deal with this. So we're not at that stage yet, and I would suggest whoever came out with that figure of 45,000 cows to be culled, it's just scaremongering tactics, and I think that's a very dangerous approach to take at the present time, at this critical time, and I certainly wouldn't agree with that.
In a statement, DEFRA, that's the Department for Environment, Farming and Rural Affairs, isn't it? They've said a widespread cull of livestock is absolutely not something the government anticipates nor is planning for in the event of no deal. We will always back Britain and Northern Ireland's great farmers and make sure that Brexit works for them. Well, how are they going to back your farm. You represent the Farmers Union here. The government's saying that they will always back Northern Ireland's great farmers. Do you know how you're going to be backed?
Well, no, that's the thing. We don't know how they're going to handle that. And that's something we're lobbying for every day. We need a plan, and that uncertainty, which is the biggest problem for us with our farmers, and also indeed for the whole of the agri-food business. But, you know, farming, dairy farming and indeed farming in general, we must remember that the importance that farming and the agri-food business is to the total Northern Ireland economy. So we just can't see that Westminster will let the Northern Ireland economy go down the Swanee. I mean, we will have to come up with a plan how to handle the extra milk. We're quite confident that we'll be able to talk to Westminster. And I don't know where, you know, what solution is going to be at this stage. But we're certainly working hard on that position to come up with a solution for these problems.
Are you getting any? I want to hear from farmers this morning. And that's what we're doing. That's the purpose of this programme today, to reach out. This BBC Newsnight report is now on the BBC Northern Ireland homepage, the news homepage, with the headline, "No Deal Brexit Risks Cattle Cull in Northern Ireland, Industry Insiders Warn." Well, who are the industry insiders, and could they please explain slightly more to us so we can question them as to why they think as they do? And maybe, Ivor, I guess to be fair to them, whoever these insiders are, maybe you're in denial. Maybe this is what's coming down the line.
Well, I certainly don't think that we are in denial of anything. I mean, we as an organisation, we have been lobbying and asking for reciprocal tariffs so that we wouldn't be in this position. We want to get rid of the zero tariffs, which comes from Southern Ireland to Northern Ireland. This is something that we have been lobbying hard for. And, to say that we're in denial of anything, you know, I mean, I certainly don't agree with that. We have nothing to be in denial about. We're lobbying hard with the politicians with here in Westminster. We're also talking to DEFRA. DEFRA has been with us this last two or three time occasions in this last 6 weeks. So we're working, with DEFRA and planning and pointing out, you know, where the difficulties are. So, I mean, I don't think we're in denial. We're working positively towards getting some sort of a deal.
You mentioned to me a matter of moments ago, and if I misheard you, obviously I'll apologise, but I'm not an expert farmer because I'm not a farmer. But you said that the milk from Northern Ireland might not be able to go to the Republic, might not be taken by the Republic.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, there will be certain restrictions on, for example, there will have to be checks on this milk going south. That all takes time, and milk is a very perishable product. So we don't know how long these checks would take, if there would be queues of lorries sitting. And as you know, your milk would go off quickly if it was sitting in tankers for any period of time. So those are the things that we don't know.
And why would there need to be checks, Ivor? Checks for what? Why are there checks now before it goes south?
No, but we have to have, there are certain checks. I mean, if you take the EU, and we would be, if we were out on the 31st of October, we would be outside the EU's regime. So there would have to be certain veterinary checks on all meat products, including milk, that would be coming from outside the EU into the EU. So, I mean, there would have to be veterinary inspections. And in normal circumstances, if we're talking about a lorry travelling south, we don't know where those veterinary inspections would be. They mightn't be at the border, as they say. They might be in Dublin. And when you get with that lorry to Dublin, there might be quite a lot of lorries there, so there might be a queue, so there's a time factor. So there are all those things, and this is the main problem that we are facing with this no-deal situation, is that it's the uncertainty. And that uncertainty is with farmers, it's with processors, it's with the agri-food business, and that's the biggest issue that we face. So there's the big unknown out there, and that's our problem.
When the Ulster Farmers Union has been discussing this with both the Remain parties in Northern Ireland, but in particular the Brexit parties, okay, in Northern Ireland. And you've been saying to them, look, there might be extra checks here. What have they been saying back to you is their understanding. So these people that have been advocating Brexit, presumably because farming and our rural industry is so big to the economy of Northern Ireland, what are they saying their thinking is around these checks?
Well, all we've been doing is pointing out to them. They've been listening to what we are saying, you know. What their decision is and what their opinions are, that's really a matter for them. And, you know, that's a question for you to ask those Brexiteer politicians.
They got any solution or any answers for you to these checks that you know will need to be made?
No, certainly they definitely have no answers. They have no answers. Nobody has any answers, and the government and DEFRA have no answers, but they are working hard to come up with a solution. And it's our job in the Farmers Union to lobby hard and to make sure and point out the major issues that we're going to face on the ground, not only for us as practical farmers, but also in the agri-food business. That's our role, and we're working hard on that 24/7.
So I'm just looking at some of the stats here. And Ivor, thank you. I think you're giving us a real important insight into, you know, this headline story today. The more people from the industry in Northern Ireland we can get on air today on BBC Northern Ireland throughout our airport, on both sides of this headline, the better, in my view. There are approximately 310,000 dairy cattle in Northern Ireland. The industry exports between 700 and 800 million litres of milk to the Republic every year. So am I hearing this right, that we in Northern Ireland export 800 million litres of milk to the Republic of Ireland each year, and in a couple of months' time, like as soon as that, you don't know what the checks are going to be, you're getting no guidance from government as to what the checks are going to be, you're getting no advice from local parties in Northern Ireland as to what the solution is going to be, and this is only a couple of months away? Is that where we're currently at?
I would say that's where we're currently at. We're certainly not getting any advice as to how we will end up and how we will handle this. But we are certainly pointing out where all the difficulties may be and will be, and we're asking for them, you know, for advice on how we're going to handle this. But the other thing I would say on the milk, like, at the end of 3 or 4 weeks, you know, when the processors are at capacity here, you know, there may as well be solutions. For example, milk can be taken to England, you know. So, like, it's that's why I'm saying this scaremongering story about 45,000 cows being culled, you know, it's just a scaremongering tactic. You know, I don't agree with it. Nobody in the Farmers Union would agree with that statement. So there's always be a solution, but it's going to be difficult, and we are negotiating hard to come up with that solution.
Well, look, what we'll do is we will go to the DUP and we'll go to the TUV, because those are the two parties who campaigned for Brexit, told people in Northern Ireland to vote for Brexit, and we will ask them to please share with the farming community and the rest of us here in Northern Ireland what their solution is come the 31st of October to the dairy cattle situation. So the questions we'll ask the DUP, these checks that you as the head of the Ulster Farmers Union are talking about, what's going to happen? Where are those checks going to be?
Yeah. Well, I think that's a fair comment, Stephen. Certainly, that's a role that you can play.
And the Ulster Unionist Party, they're now supporting Brexit too. Now, they did not before the referendum, but they're now supporting Brexit because Robin Swan was on the other day explaining that was the vote of everyone in the UK. So what's the Ulster Unionist Party's solution to this, which is coming full steam ahead on the 31st of October? And surely to goodness, our local political parties in Northern Ireland must have answers to these questions.
I would like, on behalf of the farmers, I would like to encourage our politicians, all our politicians, to try their best to get together and come up with a solution. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm speaking on behalf of our farmer members and speaking on behalf of the Ulster Farmers Union, but certainly we can't comment on anything that the political parties are going to say or do or whatever.
Yeah, but I can certainly ask them. Stay there for me, Arv. Okay. I've just another couple of minutes if you can, because there's lots of people calling us about this now. John in Newton Abbey. Morning, John.
Okay. Hello, Stephen.
Go ahead, John.
Stephen, do you seriously believe that the British government is going to allow the Republic of Ireland to put tariffs on anything that we're selling to them and not reciprocate? Come on, it's just simple. There's no way that they're going to allow the farmers to be paying something like £40 a head on lambs, and they sell, what, £12 billion of products to the UK government every year, and they're going to just sit back and not expect to get tariffs put in their goods. It's not going to happen. See the guy who's put all this all out in the media. Get him on your show and let him explain where it all comes from.
Put all what out in the media? What do you mean?
Well, put out the fact that he's saying that there's going to be 45,000 cows killed in Northern Ireland.
Well, it's unnamed. It's currently unnamed industry insiders, and there might be a fair reason.
Fear factor.
Well,
that's the Remainers putting the fear in the people. That's all that is. They've done the same thing when the Brexit vote started at the beginning. There'd be Armageddon and all this here. It turned out not to be. Your man Mark Carney, the governor of Bank of England, he said this and said that. His guy who's going to be taking over has come out in the media and stated that there won't be anything of what he's saying. It's all fear factor. That's all it is. They're putting the fear of God in the people to try and get... That's a Remainer thing. That's what this is. The Remainers... Democracy rules, that's what it is all about.
John, thank you. Brian in West Belfast. Morning, Brian.
Yeah, good morning, Stephen. All these people saying about not listening to people, the DUP never listened to the farmers or the business people. There's 27 other countries here who are going to make decisions after we leave on the 31st, and we will have no say in what they decide. And that includes the South Iran. But one of the things I wanted to say, Stephen, is I call them Muppets. The Muppets who decided to leave the EU from the very start.
Well, the majority of people who voted in the referendum, as you know, voted to leave the EU. So they're not Muppets.
Well,
you're talking about you know the majority of people in the United Kingdom. The majority of people in Northern Ireland voted to stay. But as the DUP will tell you, it's a UK-wide vote. UUP will tell you the same. Yeah. TV will tell you the same.
Well, see, if they don't listen to the people now. People are saying now that I talk to, why in the name of God are we leaving? When we hear all these problems, well, there's going to be a call of animals, and I don't know. But the farmers are worried. Farmers are going to be, they are worried they're going to be, they're devastated at the fact that they're leaving. They don't know where they're coming or going. And, I mean, what I'm really getting, I mean... The people are saying, "Stay." What's the point of leaving? We hadn't got these problems. Theresa May is a deal that she negotiated. They're saying accept that now, because it won't be as bad as people are saying. What's going to happen?
Let me read some of the comments coming in this morning. Pat says, "If this story carries any weight, then publish the names of the story source. Otherwise, this is a further scare story." Getting the usual mileage from the BBC. Well, obviously the BBC wouldn't have published this story without multiple insider sources. The BBC doesn't go on single sources, and it can sometimes be for very good reason that the BBC does not publish the name of sources. But look, I think it's a fair question for some of you who are raising the fact that these, of all of the sources within the industry, none of them are quoted. It's insiders, industry insiders. And meanwhile, you have the Ulster Farmers Union fronting up and saying they're not expecting any cull. Seamus writes to his Ivor Ferguson and says, please ask the representative from the IFU the following. What happens to the dairy cows they won't need if tariffs are imposed? Is that not the cull? And is this not therefore inevitable? If the figure is wrong, what is Ivor Ferguson's estimation? And what happens to the 400,000 lambs he mentioned? Ivor?
Well, yes. Well, I think the first thing is I just want to comment on your very first caller.
Sure.
He pointed out, and I understand where he's coming from. He believes that the tariff, that ROI won't get away without having a tariff both ways. But unfortunately, I just can't agree with him. I would love to be able to agree with him, but I can't, because the HMRC, Westminster's HMRC, did come out with the tariff regime, which they were going to put in place. and it's the UK rules, HMRC's rules, and the tariffs into mainland GB will be reduced from the current EU tariffs presently, but more importantly, there will be zero tariffs from Southern Ireland into Northern Ireland, and that will devastate our industry, and that's written down and as a fact, so we can't get away from that. That would be the case. The other thing is, sorry, Stephen,
yeah. Yeah, well, the question from one of our listeners is, if you're saying the 45,000 figure is wrong, what is your estimation of how many would need to be culled?
We don't think there'd be any cows need to be culled. We don't agree that there's going to be a cull of cows, number one. We think it's a scaremongering story, and it's not very helpful at this delicate time in negotiations. And I've already said that we know that in Northern Ireland the processors can handle 3 to 4 weeks' milk. After that, there's lots of options. As I said, milk could go to England, you know, to GB mainland, where there's 65 million people. There's a big demand for liquid milk there. So I don't know where that would happen or not, but I could see it as an option. So what I'm saying is, there's no such thing as no solution to this. Hopefully there will be lots of solutions, and we will work hard to try and come up with a solution. But as regards culling cows, that's a nonsense, scaremongering tactic, and we don't believe that will ever happen.
Right, here's David and Carrie Duff. Morning, David.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead,
David. Just about this, I wonder why the BBC is pushing this thing about Brexit, this fear factor about Brexit. I mean, every time
the BBC
you do
has
show,
what are you on about? The BBC is not pushing
fear
factor.
Well, if you let me talk, I'll tell you what I'm on about. Every time it comes on about Brexit, it's always people are going to die, cattle's going to die. And I remember you coming off with a statement when somebody says something, you say, now hold on, you can't say that because we can't stand over that. We haven't investigated that.
Yeah.
Have you investigated all these things about Brexit?
All right, so David, I don't think we're going to follow it this morning for the following
reason.
For the following reason, mate, all right? The Nolan Show is a small part of the BBC, okay?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
But we are a part of the BBC. It is the Nolan Show who, at the top of this very programme, is questioning who are these industry insiders. It's the Nolan Show who have brought the Ulster Farmers Union on to the airwaves, and they are questioning the validity of the claim that these 45,000 cattle will be culled. So,
yeah,
you know,
but
when you say the BBC has an agenda, we're part of the BBC, and we're...
But why make a statement if you haven't investigated it? This is what I mean.
What do you mean? We haven't made any statement.
No, but it's on the airwaves, so it's out there. You know, if anybody else makes a statement that you can't stand over, you cut them off right away. That's what I'm trying to say.
All I'm trying to say is, look, what you have here is the following situation. There is no way the BBC Newsnight, with the fine journalism that their programme has, okay, there is no way that they would be running a story like this without multiple sources, all right? But the benefit of the BBC is that, you know, there's a broad spectrum in the BBC where people like you and the Ulster Farmers Union and others are able to challenge this headline. And this is what you're now doing.
Right.
So, in other words, the BBC's peddling no fear. The BBC's reflecting both sides of a current debate.
Right. I just wanted to ask you another thing, too. Is that the thing about the Republican bonfires finished?
There's currently a situation about that bonfire at the moment, which we hope to bring you more detail on within the next few minutes. So
I was just wondering about Sinn Féin and the Alliance. They were calling for special meetings and all, you know.
Stay tuned.
Our team
is working on a story about that bonfire as we speak, and we hope to bring you some more further detail about that within the next few minutes. Mary and Dramara. Morning, Mary.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Mary.
I've been listening all this scaremongering about this Brexit. Brexit, Brexit, Brexit. But I'm coming at it from another angle, one that I haven't heard mentioned this morning. How is the Republic going to get that 800 million litres if we're not supplying it here from Northern Ireland? I have never heard mentioned. What Mr. Faradka and all his team, how are they going to get that 800 million?
Mary, the line's off, I can't hear you, and I'm really sorry. Jared, morning, Jared.
Morning.
Go ahead, Jared.
Ivor's still there.
Yeah.
What happens to a free trade deal with America and they start pumping the hormone beef into Northern Ireland and Britain?
Well, what's going to happen to our exports, or how's that going to affect us? The cheap meat.
Well, one of the things I just wanted to say is that we, as the Ulster Farmers Union, we did respect the referendum result. We voted for the Prime Minister's deal, and it was a withdrawal agreement to leave the EU, but leave it in an orderly fashion. And that would meant that we wouldn't be in that position where we would be in a position more so where our standards would be protected, and that we do know now that if there's beef going to come in, it's a very good point, because the Westminster have told us that our standards are going to be protected, but we are very concerned about the integrity of the total food industry here in Northern Ireland, because with zero tariffs, product could come in from anywhere in the world into Southern Ireland. The Southern Ireland authorities wouldn't check it, because it would be destined for the UK, and that product could come up from Southern Ireland through into Northern Ireland where there would be no checks. It would devastate our industry in Northern Ireland, because it would possibly be of a different standard to ours, and it would be produced in a cheaper way, so we couldn't compete with it. But more importantly, that product could go onto the Carn Ryan ferry and go across to the mainland GB. So it's an issue for us all. And these zero tariffs are the biggest problem as we see it at the moment.
Here's Tim. Morning, Tim.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Tim McKean. Go ahead, Tim.
Stephen, I'm a bit bemused by this whole situation with Brexit. And far be it from me to tell you how to do your job, but I have a simple question I would like you to ask. And this is particularly if you ever have Jim Allister on the show again, or somebody who's supporting Brexit. Would you ask them to just tell me one factual, actual thing that I am going to be better off for as a result of leaving on the 31st of October? Not a speculation.
Well, the freedom to make our own deals around the world, the freedom
hang on a second.
Well, hold on. Let me just rule off some things.
Let me finish here. Well, you've just started speculating. The freedom to make our own deals around the world. There's two parties.
That's not speculation.
On the 31st of October, am I going to be better off on that day for the next while because of Brexit? And I just want you to ask these people who are supporting it, name a fact, because the freedom to do something, that's a complete speculation, because there's two parties involved. Another deal with America involves America. With New Zealand involves New Zealand. With China involves New Zealand. So there is no freedom involved in that, because there's a two-way party, and they're going to have their say as well. And we've already heard about America already is saying that they want to improve the balance of payments between the United Kingdom exports and imports and the American exports and imports. So that's a pure speculation. I want an actual, factual thing that on that day, I'm better off.
Well,
because I haven't heard one. And if somebody tells me it, I'll feel better.
Yeah, but Tim, to be fair, the counter-argument to what you're saying is you don't know that you won't be better off.
But that's speculation, Stephen. I'm sitting here saying I know while we're in Europe at the moment, the situation, when you're talking to the...
I'm going to interrupt you, Tim, for a reason. I want to go live now to the New Lodge area.